$100,000 or $10,000. suffer, as we should, but we're going on record that it's not an absolute obligation. We're trying to fulfill the mitzvah for all, which of course is laudable, and it should be done. We don't want to get involved in any tzedarim because we don't want to have any avarice down the road. We don't fulfill the problem. We're more than that. Even this and everything fulfill the problem. So we got 10% wrong. We'll discuss some detail. More than that, but another major question, which is to whom? To whom must this miser be given? Now we know that the word tzedakah in the Jewish vocabulary includes many things. Many things. I'm giving to tzedakah. What means I'm giving to tzedakah? So it's generally assumed that in the broadest sense, tzedakah includes not only helping a poor person, but doesn't mean to give him $1, $10, $100, $1,000 to support himself, to eat, within his family. That's considered to be tzedakah. That goes without saying. That's the original tzedakah. What about what we call tzarchei tzibur? What about helping to build a shul, a mikveh, an eruv? What about building a hospital? What about a kollel, a girls' group, and technical schools? All kinds of things. General assumption is all of this included stuff. The question of the comm, assuming it's tzedakah, may one use the quote miser money, which remember, its root is miser money from the woman. You cannot give $1 million of produce a year. You may not give $100,000 of that produce and give it to, I'll give an example. I'll give it to a yeshiva. A yeshiva, let's say, I'll give it to Ramaz. I'm not talking ideology here. A yeshiva which the children there are not so poor. Maybe SAR is not carrying over to, I don't know. A yeshiva where the children there, no one is starving. Everyone's going, Hashem has plenty of money, but it's going to suffer. You give it. So can you give the money to these, those oranges that you give, you get the whole year supply of oranges for this also not a hardly a single orange goes to the mouth of some of those categories of onions. Can't do it on their veins. Oh, maybe they're a vein. I'm told that these schools pay salaries, maybe they're made by not onion, but I don't know how it goes together. But that would not be a valid way to distribute your mice onion, as laudable as it may be. So there are, in fact, many posts will say that for Meisr stuff, you can't support yeshiva, mikveh, neiruv, you can't do that. That's the general community, which includes those who are poor, those who are not poor. You must give the 10% only to tzedakah la'aniyim. Not for shul, not for yeshiva, that's what some posts in fact say. Suffice it to say that the minhag Yisrael is not that way. The custom that we have is not that way. We give, generally speaking, our Meisr money for all different stuff. The whole range. Whatever is considered an important sort of activity, that's what we do with our Meisr money. Now, this may only be possible according to the view that Meisr Tzavim is a minhag Tov. So it's a minhag Tov, it's a wonderful custom. So then, once it's a custom, so we can, you know, tailor the custom to what our Klal Yisrael's custom is. And indeed, there are many authorities who say when you begin giving a Meisr Tzavim, start making it a net of a general term, just sort of stipulate, if you will, that I'm going to be trying to give 10%, but my definition of to whom will be the broadest possible definition. The 10% I give should be given to all, the whole range, for people, shivin, shul, victors, avermen, hospitals, whatever it may be, the whole range of what we consider to be charitable giving. And that's what many people do. I should add, before I go any further, that another topic that was left out not only was what the basis for Maaseh Tzavim, but who was obligated to Maaseh Tzavim. For Moshe Feinstein, the number of tshuvas, the number of responses on Maaseh Tzavim. For one of them, in the calculation, he calculated about tax, before tax, after tax. But he writes at the end of the tshuva, when you give me numbers, you're exempt from Maaseh Tzavim. You have no money. The numbers that you're giving me in those years, you don't have to give 10% of your money to stuff. The amount of income that you're talking about is too low. Now, this is very important. Because a person who just makes a little bit of money, doesn't have enough to put bread on his own table, although he's still obligated to give some stuff, yes. The 10% figure does not apply. It only applies to someone who is able to afford the 10% and then still be able to support his own family. You're not required to give 10% of your income and then have to go schnarr to be accept stuff from others. What kind of business is this? You have to give some stuff. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, I want to say that there are many people in this room who should be giving more than 10%. Up to 20%. Why? if possible, two tzedakah. Now, of course, you could be able to give one trip to Miami, to be sure, and you have, as we say now in the Mishnah, that a person should have enough money for himself, and he shouldn't have to go tomorrow to lose all his money, and then he's dead to others, etc. But if he has enough, he should give, and he should try to give, one-fifth to tzedakah. What if the person, because the Ayahara is blessed with so much, that he has enough to give even much more than one-fifth? Well, here's the view. Some say you shouldn't do it because you give more than one-fifth of your money, one that you may be able to count for. So what have you accomplished? Others say, no, you're not going to give more than one-fifth. I will avail myself to anyone in this room who wants to speak to me privately. I mean, publicly, rather, privately. And to give you a little bit about your finances, to ask me a shayla, I'm allowed to give more than one-fifth. In most cases, you can fetch out of heaven. Find a way out of to permit you to give. And there is. I would like to talk about when. When should a person give my sister? So, looking at when? The Moskvich suggests that you should make an annual calculation. It's a very good time. I'm not sure why my marriage is starting to happen. This topic is fine. Some suggest it's because it's Purim time, Mataras of Yodin. Well, let me tell you that Purim, Mataras, in order to post to say, cannot be you, you cannot use your mice amount. In other words, of course you can use your mice amount. But if you give something which is not part of your mice amount, an obligation. You're not supposed to use mice of money, which is stuff, it's a charitable thing, to do something you're absolutely obligated to do. Of course, my partners are going to fulfill your obligation with a fairly small amount of money to two people. So, fear and say, the post should give a one meal equivalent to two separate people. So, what's the cost of a meal which includes, let's say, what is the halakha for a meal? Desires of bread. About the buses, figure out what that means. The diet is 1 ounce of bread, 1 ounce of meat, and 3 ounces of wine. That is the bare bones, I'm not saying food, but the bare bones for a meal. $5? Yeah. Let's make it $5. So you give $10, so you make sure you give $10, not for your miser money, come out of your wallet straight, that should be given to that's one reason. I don't have any reason. Taxi. Tax season. I'm giving now advance notice about the Shabbos HaGadol brush. I'd have to talk to yourself. I mean, somehow you can do this. This is the second time in the all years I've been in the Rabbanus that Shabbos HaGadol comes out on April 15th. Happened once before, 11 years ago. The brush was about taxes. I would get to pay taxes. Going to be repeated. She will be a little different. Those who are very good veterans, we have some of those. But the theme will be the same. I can't pass it up. And of course, I still have to finish the taxes, so to speak. But the topic, that's not the real reason that I'm embarrassed to talk about. Now, the Shabbos, the Echad, the other, Mashmir Mala Shkolah, the simplest reason. Okay? Shkolah, as we know, was a specific obligation to give to the Beis HaMikdash, which doesn't really have a parallel in our life. Mostly we have is a minute of Machnit Hasheko, Purim Tov, which exists in one, three different customs. In any event, I like to talk about the income tax. It seems to me the best time for every individual to make a calculation as to how much money is made is income tax time. I'm now talking about the when. When. The when is supposed to say you do whatever you want, but if you do it once a year, that is an adequate time. The post who are a little bit upset with people who save the giving of money until after they're no longer around.
Yeah?
They put away money in a fund, so they're given out posthumously after they are no longer alive. Ever have a Kodesh here? Another reason that won't do. And across the goes. Another possible reason. Thank you. Another possible reason. My eyes will make it. Another possible reason for discussing this matter in these times because we're reading about it in the Parshia. Right. Reading about the Parshia. Starting from Parshas Terumah. The Parshas Terumah, we're talking about Terumah means a donation, and we're told to give a donation of Zav, Kesef, and a fellowship of gold, following world as approximate Russian papacy. What's the hub? Zeh Hanosek Bari. Someone who gives money when he's healthy. That's the best. 3 years, the lux. That's about gold on the revenue. Zeh Hanosek Bari. When you're healthy, you're good. What's Kesef? Sheyesh Sakana. When is the danger? Some of the danger. Health danger, other dangers. Broke. Redeem yourself. The danger. Remember, the original source of mass and suffering is it's not really from the tides of the grain. It really comes from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was a big problem. Ooh, yeah, he had a big tzaras, Yaakov Avinu. He had a terrible problem. He said, you know, but it's broken, you save me. Kol ha-shatit en li, aser aser alav. The yesh takar na pro. And as a matter of fact, the post can say, it's not proper, normally, to take a nether tzaka, to give, take a, set upon yourself a kind of a vow, to give a certain amount of charity, but it's a possible exception. Exceptionally based tzara. No be based tzara, based upon the Yaakov Avinu. Someone is sick, some has other problems. Yeah. So you know, when some that's not bad. That's kesef, silver standard. Well, what's the koshes? Forgot what it stands for. What it really means is when someone saves his money and gives it away, but he's no longer alive. It isn't in fun. So I saw the possibility say someone who gets the lion's share of his stomach and is going to be given that after his death is a ksil, a fool, because he doesn't really get the mitzvah. It's a good thing, right? That people have these big wills. I'm not opposed to wills, because the wills that leave money to stomach is a wonderful thing. I'm told now, it's going to be popularized here in our city, it's a thing called the 5% plan. Have you read about the 5% plan? A man from Chicago, a man who painted this thing, tried to get all the communities to establish a technical plan whereby everybody leaves, of course, the whole point of Jewish life, you know, but Orthodox affiliated, everyone is Jewish, to just 5% of day school. And it will. So that's the cost you have in your lifetime. So if the thing passes on, they're going to stop a lot of money, 5%. And if it doesn't cost you anything, just leave 5% of day school. You know, your children can have 95%, but just leave 5% of day school. That's an awful lot of money. And if anyone will do that, presumably they could leave an endowment so he could lower tuitions and raise salaries, it would be a wonderful thing. I thought in Chicago it is already being met with some success and has a drop of a whole range of Jewish leadership from, I was told, from the Lava Mitzvah Rebbe, who was the Rosh HaKodesh Yisro, to even non-Orthodox. They all think it's a good idea. Why not? So it's good, I'm not opposed to these things. But at first you should give stuck while it's alive, you shouldn't wait for the problem. You know when he's there, he'll sit burned. Okay. Another reason to discuss this right now. Let me turn my attention again to say the ideal time really is when a person is doing his taxes. You have to discuss how much money you've made. That's the time to calculate how much stuff should be given. Now, you ask net or gross? That's a very good question. The answer is net. The person is a professional and he grows. It's a full cash register. How many checks he receives over the entire year? Comes out to $200,000. But he has to pay rent. He has to pay expenses. Pay people who are working for him. So it comes out that after it's all said and done, what he puts into his pocket is $100,000. He only is required to give the stuff on $100,000. More than that. This is a merchant who doesn't agree. That is the way the system works in the United States of America. Now we have a thing called income tax. So you're only required to give stucker how we call it after tax. So he makes $200,000 and then he's giving out his expenses are, $70,000. We're not numbers. His tax is $30,000. What about $200,000? 1 second. He's only required to give tzedakah on the after income tax. I'm not discussing other tax, I'm discussing real estate tax. I'm just talking about income tax. But that money is really never yours. All right, they won't hold it. In many cases, they want to cut it, it's not yours. But even if they don't hold it, for whatever reason, so you still have to. You're permitted to lower the amount, the total amount, the top number, by whatever expense, including income tax expense.
What about other expenses? Rent, tuition,
some people have a misconception. Yeah, making $200,000 a year, and after tax, I make $100,000 a year. It costs me to live. It costs me $80,000. So I'm left to put it in the bank, and put it in the stock market, and put it in whatever I do with CDs, whatever people are doing, $20,000. I have to get stuck on the $20,000. I get $2,000, that's it. That's a terrible misconception. The Maisik Safid is on the whole story, on the whole thing. On the whole thing. I'm assuming, though, that you're able, as I said before, you're able to live. So you're able to live on $80,000 a year. Okay? And your top line number is $100,000 a year after expenses and after income tax. Expense of the business expense. That's not part of income. You have to put in money to make money. Then you're required to give the full $10,000 to Maisik Safid. I don't mean you only save $10,000 a year in British level. That's the way it is. Otherwise, it's endless. So you're required to give 10% of the entire income, again, minus the expenses and including income tax. 10% of that, again, assuming you're able to afford to live on that, and you cannot deduct your electric bill and your food bill, and then that's exactly what the 19% is for. The 19% is wrong. And the 10% is to give to them.
Let's say two families, let's say one has five kids and the other has two kids, and they're sending five kids and you do the two kids. If they make the same net income, is there a tzedakah obligation to Mike's saying?
Yes. Why don't you answer the question more directly? Which is, the Shiva tuition count towards Mike's? That's a very good question. That's it could be more than 64,000 question. That's a very, very strong question. So the general,
then there's no
shadow that's definitely not. No shadow for $64,000. But what is our love for the matter? What is it in? Here's an interesting thing. The Gemara speaks about this. The Gemara speaks about supporting your children. The Gemara distinguishes between support which is mandated by Allah, which does not count. It's a requirement, it's not Allah. And support, which is not mandated by Allah, which can possibly count towards tzedakah. Now, what is the Gemara Sukkos? What does the Gemara say in the cutoff point? Until what age is a person required, absolutely required, to support his children, believe it or not, until age 6. That's what the tuition is really kicking in. Until age 6. So until age 6, so then you can't count whatever you paid in your nursery, kindergarten, that doesn't count. After age 6, that's the Gemara. Hold on. The Poskim say that is no longer the case. Nowadays, it can be mandated by halacha. The Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael was faced with this. The person would say, I'm not required to support my children above age 6. So we're dealing with divorce, child support, until 6, after that, it's not my business. But that's ridiculous. They actually made a takana, the Rabbanut, until age 15 or 16. Takana Gura. The Poskim say, until 18, and the real psak really is what is normally done. And what's normally done is until the child is married. But generally speaking, if the child turned 18, that's relatively a college question. It's the biggest question. If it's not at 18, then the awful lot of money they can say is I'm not required to pay. But it's customary. It's generally accepted that a person pays until 21. When I deal with this terrorist, what you have to deal with from time to time. Involving child support of a divorced couple, we generally speaking cut off at 21. Which includes basically college. If you cut off into college, though, graduate school already, then take a loan. That's right, take a loan. So college, you're ordinarily imposing upon the father to pay the college tuition. You consider that to be, in our society, something which is in effect a mandate. So therefore, it would seem to me that we should not count all these things towards the Maisik Safid, because you have no proof that there is a bank that's going to tell you literally you have to do it, literally in a judgment case. So therefore, they go then and say, I don't have to do it. Others say they're a little more liberal, and they say, am I really, really required to do it? But I think Shabbos quoted a famous Tanya Chazal, which the Gemara in the Central Service, host sets a duck of a full ace, someone who is fulfilling the mitzvah of charity all the time, there have a finance one of Ubunosa had a goal. And someone who was supporting his sons and daughters who are above the cutoff age. The top of the time, the cutoff age was 6, and today the cutoff age will be whatever it'll be, 18, 21, whatever it may be. So the Olam says the world has a the world has a member. It's not found anywhere in the Halal, of course. But they say, oh, but Paleis, the man is doing stuck all the time. What a great guy! He said, you know, guy Baruch says, now, you know, I do stuck every minute. I'm supporting my sons and my daughters who are above the age. We say, that's okay. Al Yavo, Al Yavo is not come in. Paleis, with that fulfillment of stuck at every single moment. El HaKodesh. So I don't think it's such a holy Jew if you're on fire to charity and supporting your own children, and because technically speaking, they're above the age of the mandate. You still have to support the institution, the poor people, as the case may be. So, this is, yes.
Could there be a difference in the
Again, my view, the support requirement is largely societal. Largely societal. And in our society, it's considered basic parenting. That's something basic parenting is considered an obligation. Put food on your children's table so they shouldn't have any problem with what they eat. And to give them a good education, however, that's defined in a particular branch of our society. So it's somewhat difficult to consider that to be the category of my system. I will say, however, that let's say you send a child to graduate school tuition, which you are not required, we said before, that I don't think any best that tells you to a parent an absolute judgment case. Of course, they want to pay a child graduate school studies. And you do. You do. But it's arguable, but also considered to be done. That's the one of the notes that I'm doling of today. You're helping your son and daughter get through something. Let me speak to you about cars. If you live in California, I'm told that in California, I don't know that much about it, in certain parts of California, so every 16-year-old or has to have a car to get around. How do you? No? Does anyone come to California? True. Well, no public transportation. If it's true, then it's arguable that the car that you buy for your 16-year-old to get around to go to yeshiva or to go here and there, might be in the category of your obligation to support the child, and therefore not be included in the category of stuff. And let's say you have a son who is now over 21, and 21 year old son is going to the school yeshiva. I mean, how it works, yeshivas with a student that's over 21, and people have more experience with the yeshivas, you can't count the same, we'll call it tibia, the same demand to a parent to pay the full tuition. You know, of course, second of college, you can do it. Don't like to stay home. But, you know, in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, where two of my sons are chosen to be members of the Kollel, there's no tuition. No tuition. Tuition free institution. And of course, asking for a donation, it goes to a donation. And the yeshivas my son used to attend where there wasn't official tuition, there were people who were over 21. Well, not everyone, I'm still living in years gone by when it was nothing, it was nominal kind of a thing. It seems to me that either way, the person's paying tuition for his 21-year-old plus child in the yeshiva, that this would be something which could be perhaps taken off as my stuff. Again, I'll yell about the laser that published, don't get into my entire mice of money, but I think it can count. Yeah. Sorry? That also. I'm now talking about sheets. What about graduate school? So a person supporting his father with no food, I've told them. They feel that in order to make a living, be self-sufficient down the road, they need certain things. Whatever you think, this assessment. One is, I have to go to graduate school. In order to be able to be sufficient, I have to go to graduate school. And the father is supporting the son in order to make himself sufficient. Well, the lambda the father's required to be his son a trade. He's ready to graduate school. So you're, in effect, giving parnasa to your children above and beyond the age when you're required to do so, but you're supposed to be expanded definition. Technically speaking, what's an argument? that the result of the loss of a dollar, you're going to be out of strict obligation of bet. Hey, so it's certainly something that you don't have to be doing. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, of course.
Doing that as a favor to parents.
Just the code? That's already too much. Right, that's already too much. throw kids around in school, they don't pay that. That's just, that's just foolish.
Last year, a guy before,
shuls and mikvahs and erevins and everything. And I want to go further than that. And I'm not requiring, listen carefully to what I want to say, I'm not requiring that the balabas break the back.
Right.
considered part of the support of endless. Some of the things that people are doing now, it's absolutely scandalous. And you go to these same people, and for stock exploration, it's been a tough year, your flowers were more than $10,000. I'm told could even much more. I'm embarrassed to use these numbers. So it's not right. It's just wrong. It's not right.
Your definition, basically, your income for business expenses minus taxes. I'm saying maybe you could say that a wedding, it comes to that, not very good, I mean, your business expenses.
Maybe you can work for a fancy company. You know what? called to say, sorry, hey, getting money for the school.